Welcome to the Traveling Tights.
Sergeant, oh my goodness. Dalton Castle all the way to the floor.
Now, as much as I don't care for you, this person cares for you even less.
I'm fighting Dalton Castle.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me! Him.
This is the Traveling Tights.
Hey, baby chickens! Welcome to the Traveling Tights. My name is Dalton Castle. It's not a real name, but it's a good one, and I am your host of this here free podcast. That's right. It doesn't cost you a dollar or a penny. And it doesn't cost you a penny, especially if you're Canadian, because they don't even have pennies. I don't know if that makes you ahead or behind the times, Canada, but I'll tell you what it does make you. Unique. Our guest this week is Dragon Gate USA star Johnny Gargano, and he and I have a fun sit-down conversation backstage at IWC. And we'll take a listen to that a little later on in the episode. But first, I need to apologize for the intro segment you're about to listen to. The acoustics are a little weird with a bit of a hum, and that's only because it was recorded with inside an aeroplane. That's right, I recorded it millions of miles above the Earth. And I also should admit to you, I have absolutely no idea how high a plane generally flies. So here's the quick background. I was heading home from my show Sunday morning, boarding my plane in Chicago, sleep-deprived and grumpy that I never stopped at a Sheetz. And as I shuffled onto the plane, I caught a pair of very familiar eyes sitting down and made me smile and got me excited to do some podcasting. I opted out of my two-hour nap, told whoever was sitting next to my friend to beat it, pulled out my recorder, and threw down some traveling tights just like the old days. If you haven't guessed who the familiar eyes belong to yet, I'll give you a hint. He likes to kick people, and he breaks cameras. And if that still isn't giving it away, well then we'll take a quick break, throw it to the audio from in the plane, and you'll figure it out soon enough.
I can go for miles in my airplane. Have a lot of smiles in my airplane. I can go up. I can get down, but I can't get to you if you don't want me around in my airplane.
Kind of a pleasant surprise here.
Yes.
A couple of boys hanging out on an airplane.
An aeroplane.
Bobby, you just got done where for Ring of Honor, right?
Yeah, Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton. I'm coming back from IWC in Pittsburgh. And we both meet in the Windy City.
Yeah, it's a Windy City.
Where our stewardess.
Orlando, Florida.
That's the one. Our stewardess was killing it with her jokes.
Right. She almost killed the kid sitting in front of us when she elbowed him in the head.
She dust like Dusty.
Yeah.
She came up.
Bionic elbow.
Yeah, she was spinning her hands the way up.
She did a flip-flop and fly. Then delivered the elbow on her way up to get drinks.
She's like, oh, I'm so sorry, baby. I didn't see you there.
Sorry, baby.
Our seatbelt light's off now.
I think the oxygen's about to fall down next.
All right, well, I'm going to put mine on before I assist you with it.
Nice.
Oh, I'm glad we can finally sit down and actually do some recording together. I miss you.
Yeah, it takes this for it to happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now above 10,000 feet. You may use your larger portable electronic devices. All devices must be in airplane or wireless off mode only. If you have a device that is sending or receiving messages, it is prohibited. Invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy this 1 hour, 20 minute flight. Wheels up to wheels down over to Albany. If there's anything we can do to make your flight more enjoyable, please let us know.
There it was.
Nice.
The wheels up thing. That was pretty.
I'm a little aggravated that they didn't welcome the Traveling Tights podcast on board.
Why didn't they announce that?
I thought it was like, thank you to our service members who might be on board and the Traveling Tights podcast.
Well, they get top billing, don't you think?
I can accept that.
All right.
There's Dusty.
For the troops.
There's the dream. She's got his hair color, too.
Yeah, she does have that stark blonde.
Yeah.
It's hot. All right, how was Dayton? How was Ring of Honor?
Oh, that's good. The crowd was it was sold out, and the crowd was good.
Sold out, 55 people.
Yeah, we had a sellout crowd of 78, standing room only, because we were working in somebody's living room.
Mm.
But yeah,
an old mattress.
yes, and some dirty bed sheets, and. Yeah, it was good. It was a good show.
Ring of Honor, Max Hardcore.
Right. Matt Hardcore.
Matt
Hardcore.
Matt Hardcore?
Yeah, Angry Taven was actually out.
Explain Angry Taven to me.
Angry Taven usually...
Last time I didn't get to really... I didn't understand it.
He's just an ornery cuss. He's just... it usually... He comes out of the airports, so that's why it was kind of...
He's just frustrated.
Out of... Yeah, it was out of...
Do you think it's because he hasn't his nap?
I don't know. I don't know if maybe his hair gets real curly and it tightens up the pressure on his brain and he lashes out. There's times I think he's got just anger issues.
Poor guy.
Yeah, hence Angry Taven.
We need to help him out. I think a good hug once in a while and maybe a daily nap.
Well, he's got Casey Ray at home, and I know, I'm sure she hugs him from time to time, but maybe it's the lack of sleep, so maybe he's not getting enough nap time because they're too busy hugging.
Poor little guy, all the hugging.
Yeah, just too much hugging.
Since I sat down, I wanted to tell you what happened in my match last night.
And I want
to
hear it.
Yeah, but I had to wait till we could... at our large recording device. And
which looks like a microwave.
Yeah, so I was in IWC main event because I'm the champ. I don't think there's any secret to that. I walk out here with my big shoulders. Everybody's like, oh.
That's the champ,
yeah. But in the middle of our match, I just start fighting back on the guy I'm wrestling, just punching him. And then I get the little separation and I realize, it smells like poo. And I look over and I see one side of the crowd has completely cleared out and they're standing way back against the wall. They left their seats and they're chanting, "This guy farted." Just chanting. And they're talking about one of the guys at ringside.
Wait, so was it another fan that... it was like security.
Well, I couldn't figure it out, and then the fight continues to the ground, and I get back in control, and I have an opportunity to look around, and everybody in the bleachers, disgust on their face, and I make eye contact with one mother there, who's just shaking her head, and waving her hand in front of her face to signify to me that yes, it does stink here, like poo.
And at no point did the aroma make it to you guys.
No, I could smell it at that point. Yeah, when the crowd cleared out, I realized, and I tried to fight through it. I thought it'd go away. I thought it was a fart. I think something backed up.
He actually shit?
Well, I mean, he was kind of sluggish during the match.
No, not your opponent. Oh. I'm talking about the guy.
Oh, I'm blaming it on my opponent.
Oh.
Yeah, figuratively and physically.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
It was the crowd, I think, could not focus on what was going on in the ring. They were there was a few children putting their shirts over their face.
Whenever shit or the possibility of shit is involved, it's hard to concentrate.
Ladies and gentlemen,
anything.
As I come through the narrow aisle with a heavy metal cart and I am a horrible driver, please make sure your head, shoulders, elbows, knees, toes, and personal items are not obstructing the aisle. Thank you.
He's killing it. Oh man! Did you pay extra for this?
I did.
Good. That somebody threw down.
As I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. Whenever shit is involved, you're unable to concentrate on anything else but the shit. So, I get it.
Yeah. Well, I was able to focus my energy long enough to pull off the win, so it's okay. But my lord. That was the stinkiest match I've ever been involved in, and everybody had to smell it. Come to think of it, I think it might have been me. I may have pooped myself.
Just forgot.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Caught up in the moment.
Have you been in a distraction?
Right, but the distraction for me that's coming to mind was my own need to defecate.
Oh, are we in Japan?
Yeah, refreshing. And I hadn't experienced the ways of the Eastern toilet. Style toilet,
the
so I was
toilet.
Reluctant to go. And then it was time to go out to the ring.
First off, quickly, the Eastern toilet is just a hole in the ground, right?
Basically.
Or
yeah,
trough.
It's like a urinal in the floor, squished to be narrow like a hot dog. Like, instead of it being a hamburger shape, it's a hot dog shape.
And if anybody needs to physically see this, look on YouTube. Bobby Fish traveling tights.
Right, right.
He models it for us.
So,
like a hot dog.
Because I hadn't done this yet, I ended up in a scenario where it was time to go to the ring and I had no choice. I had to go to the ring accompanied by my dark passenger. And the entire match, I couldn't remember things that we had discussed. I couldn't keep together where we were going because I was taking the heat, and the whole time I was just trying to not be the guy that shit himself on national TV in Japan. And that's what, you know, that's what I was in danger of. So I can relate a little bit. I can empathize with whoever it was that poopied in your match.
They're a little embarrassed, and we should probably let him slide this time, you're saying?
Well, I can't empathize with that part because I managed to hold it in.
Oh, you're not a disgusting animal.
Right, right. I'm not a filthy pig. But that's what I think of when I hear your story.
Oh, good. Well, that makes me feel a little better.
Right.
Good. Well, our drink cart is coming.
Nice.
I'm going to get a cranberry.
Along with American Dream.
Oh, man, she... I'm going to keep our mouths shut. We're going to turn this off and enjoy the rest of this flight, but I'm really happy we got to do this.
Yeah, me too.
I can't wait to see Dusty.
Almost feel like we should continue recording until she's here.
He's just a common man, working hard with his hands. He's just a common man, working hard for the man. Hey, he's a American dream. Hey, he's a man.
Oh, look at those shoes.
There you go.
Those wrestling shoes, or those are regular shoes?
They're like the ASIC Tigers,
which
like are also a wrestling shoe. Okay. They're not wrestling shoes. They just look it.
Fancy.
You got to be ready at all times. I wear them on the plane, in the parking lot, in case wrestling just breaks out.
You never know.
Well, first off, Gargano, thank you for sitting down with me.
No problem, buddy. Anytime.
I appreciate
this. No problem. Anytime. Literally anytime. You want to call me any time of the day, any night, whatever. Just do it.
Okay. I'm going to, like... I think when we finish this, I'm calling you immediately.
Immediately? Okay.
And then tonight, just to sing me to sleep.
I'm not a good singer. And I'm sick, so it's even worse.
Oh, we shouldn't have kissed.
Real sick. Sick, guys.
All right. I just got here. Is this not the filthiest gymnasium you've ever...
There's a door right there for karate and judo. So I don't know what exactly goes on in this building.
Well, I'll tell you two things that
okay.
at least go on.
Karate and judo?
Right.
Are those different? I think so, right?
No, I think
the same thing.
I look.
Is judo?
It's karate slash
karate
judo.
In a different language.
Yeah, I think judo is Japanese for karate.
Oh, right on. Learn something new every day.
Karate's American for judo.
There it is.
Forgive my lack of knowledge of the product, but last I remember, you're a Dragon Gate champion of
the world. The entire world, no. Dragon Gate USA, Open the Freedom Gate champion.
Open the Freedom Gate champion.
It's very,
not
it's very
to be confused
long.
With the Bruce Lee movie.
No, no. Is that a movie called?
No, Entering the Dragon.
Okay, though. There you go. There was a show called Entering the Dragon, the Dragon Gate USA show did.
Oh,
I think
really?
The first one, maybe the, I don't know.
Was any of the Lee family involved?
No. I wish. Nightmare Jimmy Lee, that's the guy, right?
Yeah, sure.
He wasn't there either. They didn't invite anybody. They're really disrespectful. But no, I've been champion for over 2 years.
Oh,
900 and something days.
And
I don't even know at this
point.
And
defended twice.
Yeah, something like that.
No, that's awesome. You're like a big star, and did you like Dragon Gate's a obviously you're having fun with it. You're still with it.
You know, it's fun. Wrestling's fun sometimes.
They bring you big opportunities. They brought you across the ocean there.
I did. I've been to Japan twice. Both times I was there for a month, both times. And, you know.
Oh, geez. All right.
It's a long time.
Back up. First time over.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know stories.
Yes.
But your first impression in Japan, get right off the plane. What happens?
Okay, right off the plane. Here's a story right off the plane. Here we go. I'm there. I'm traveling with Rich Swann and Chuck Taylor.
Oh, good crew.
I believe Chuck Taylor has done one of these with you before,
yeah,
eh?
Rich Swann has too?
Wow.
The video version.
Okay. So we're traveling. Rich Swann only brought $15 with him to Japan, by the way. We're there a month, and he only brought $15. So that tells you a lot about Rich Swann right off the bat. I love Rich Swann, by the way. I gotta say that afterwards. So
love Rich Swann. Yeah. Horrible with finances.
So we get off the plane, and we go get our bags and stuff. And I get my bag. Rich Swann gets his bag. But, no bag for Chuck Taylor. So
now he's got to wear your underwear.
He wore Rich Swann's gear. But so we get there, and there's no bag for Chuck Taylor, and it had all his gear in it and all that stuff. And we're debuting in Corrigan Hall, like, the next day. So we're in trouble. But we get our bags, and Chuck goes up and asks the people, like, oh, my bag's gone. Like, what can I do? And the people at the airport are just like, you know, whatever, American dude. We can't do anything for you.
That was an awfully racist accent.
Yes. But then what happens is the Dragon Gate guys who are picking us up come and explain to the airport people that we are professional wrestlers. And his gear was in his bag. And as soon as they say that we're professional wrestlers and his gear is gone, you think that Barack Obama lost his bag, because they start freaking out.
Holy shit.
They start, because to them, like, professional wrestlers is like a huge deal.
Wow.
Which, yeah. So right off the bat, we're thinking like, wow, this is amazing.
We are gods.
Yeah, we felt like gods there. Of course, they still didn't get his bag and did nothing for him. They got it later on. But yeah, that was my first real, like, wow. Like, we go in America and we travel around. They're like, oh, you're an indie wrestler. Like,
yeah,
who cares
and they look
about you?
Down
yeah, who cares
you?
About you? But in Japan, like,
You lose your gear here in America. They're like, oh, we did you a favor, buddy. You need to get a real job.
Yep.
Yeah. Cash in. Turn in those boots for some from Timberlands and get chopping wood. Is that what they use those for?
Timberlands?
They like to chop
wood.
I think so.
I'm sure there's. I'm almost 1,000% positive. There's probably been a rap lyric about chopping wood that's turned sexually. Like, this girl be out there, she chopping wood, or something like that. Like that's the thing right there. That's a lyric.
You're spot on. And if there wasn't, that will be auto-tuned and now become one. All right. Anything else, like, insane happened in your first trip over?
Yes, the most insane. The most insane thing that ever happened in the history of the country, actually. There was a big tsunami. Uh-oh.
I just think there's people running around.
These freaking idiots.
I think we're okay.
Okay. So there was a huge tsunami. The biggest natural disaster in the history of the country happened while we were there.
And you guys are obviously...
No, we died, man. You're talking to a ghost.
It's like, well, that's official. I need help. It's been a very boring podcast for everybody else who can't hear the ghost.
So we're all sitting around the dojo one day, and all of a sudden I start getting tons of emails from, like, my family and fans and being like, you guys okay? Like, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I've been here for, like, a week at this point.
No
I'm
idea
fine.
About
no,
the knowledge.
No idea what's going on. Because we're all up disaster. Secluded in a room somewhere, me, Chuck, and Rich. Mm-hmm. And, like, they start telling us there's this big, like, earthquake tsunami thing going on, and a lot of people are dead, and they're like, whoa, what the heck? That's nuts. So we go downstairs, and everyone's watching the TV. We, of course, have no idea what's going on because we can't really understand the television. But they explained to us the best they could in broken English that there was a tsunami, and it's crazy, and a lot of people are dead, and it's just really horrible. So that happens, and luckily we were far away from it, but a lot of people died.
Yeah, just in the world... catastrophe.
Yeah.
We were there for it.
We were there for it. So we wake up the next day, and this has never happened before, but everyone in the dojo is gone.
Mm.
All the wrestlers, all the students, everyone are gone. So it's just me, Chuck Taylor, and Rich Swann.
And nobody told you anything.
And no one told us anything. So we wake up and we're like, did they just be like, you know, they're just like, we're leaving. Like, we're evacuating. And we're leaving these Americans upstairs.
That's my first thought would be like, so we're like, oh, we didn't get the signal.
Oh, man, we're dead. Like, this is it. We're here now forever.
I guess go to the top floor.
Luckily, they came back and they just didn't say anything. Like, oh, we left to go help our family. Like, they just came back.
None of your business, Gaijin.
No. But then we have a show the next day, and they explained to us that, like, I'm going to do my best impersonation of, you know, a broken English-speaking Japanese wrestler.
Wait, let me try first. Eyo, we got the tsunami over here.
That's kind of like Shima. Okay. A little bit. You're very close. But they're like, big tsunami, big disaster. Many nuclear reactors explode. what the heck does that mean? Like, nuclear reactors?
That's not good. Near any lizards?
That's not good. Like, you hear a Japanese man in broken English say, nuclear reactors explode.
Yeah.
Not good. Good.
Yeah.
So a bit of
a red flag.
We were supposed to have this big show in the one of their biggest shows of the year, and it got canceled, and everything got canceled, and we got sent home early. We were only there for 2 weeks as opposed to three. So we went home, and the airport, when we went home to the airport, it was nuts because everyone was trying to leave.
Right.
So the airport was crazy. It was ransacked. All the convenience stores were just empty.
So Japan's actually evacuating.
Yeah, everyone's leaving.
And you just want to go home.
We just want to go home. So we spent the night in the airport there. And it was crazy, man. It's crazy that, like, the little segment of my life that we got picked to go to Japan was the segment that the biggest natural disaster in the history of the country happened.
Yeah,
one of them.
It was it's a sad event. It's tragic what happened to people. But in a way, two huge things happened in your life. Yeah. You got to go wrestle in Japan for the first time, and you got to be a part of history.
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Horrible, horrible history.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's stay on the path of terrible things.
Yes.
I wanted to get into this with Greg Iron a little bit. We didn't have enough time. He says you guys share a catastrophic travel story.
I think we share all of them.
you and Greg travel a lot, right?
We do. We travel a lot together. Gregory Iron is
probably... both Cleveland? Is
we
that
are.
The thing?
All right. Yep. We were roommates for a while. Then he moved out and went with his girlfriend. Like,
what a
pansy.
What a gay.
Right?
What a gay.
So I don't see him that much anymore. But he is probably... He has the worst luck in the world when traveling to wrestling shows.
You're just saying.
If you drive with Gregory Iron, anyone listening right now, if you get in a car with Gregory Iron, something bad is going to happen. I don't know what it is.
It's a fact.
Something bad is going to happen. One of the big moments that happened was probably, it was a Dragon Gate USA show in Chicago. It was a triple shot. We did the shows and we were driving home. You know, after Dragon Gate USA shows, I am dead. I am literally dead because I think it takes years off my life, those shows.
I've seen your performance.
Oh, it's
pretty
it's
sick.
Horrible.
I don't know.
I don't
know why
guys.
You do these things.
Die all the time, guys. So we're driving home. It's me, Gregory Iron, Facade, and Eric Ryan in a car. And we're moseying along. You know, we're driving home. And all of a sudden, Gregory Iron gets a flat tire. A flat tire or something that happens to Gregory Iron all the time. But this particular time, it was in the middle of the night, probably like... I'm going to say like 10, 11-ish, maybe 12. I don't know what time it is. And we're driving home. He gets a flat tire. And we're in the middle of nowhere. So we don't really know what to do.
What month is this? Just give me a time of year.
I think
summer?
June. Yeah,
okay, summer.
So it's not too bad. So we have no one to call. We don't know how we're going to get a tire. Because Greg Iron also doesn't have any. He has no spare. Because guess what? He was driving on this spare that he already had. No extra spare. And he also doesn't have money for another tire. So basically, we're screwed at this point. Like, what are we going to do?
Walk.
We walk. We walk to a convenience store.
Oh, you did walk. All
we
right.
walk. We walk to a convenience store. And we ask this cop for help, and he's really mean. He doesn't want to help us at all.
You're in like country town, right?
Yeah.
He's sitting there just trying to enjoy
he's mad.
Did you think you're walking to like Chainsaw Massacre or stuff?
No, it wasn't that bad. It was like a 7-Eleven. So
what do you fancy boy wrestlers want?
But me and Eric Ryan, I believe, walked to that 7-Eleven like six times. And it was way over a mile away. So the hours start passing by. And by hours, I mean 14 of them.
What?
14 hours on the side of the road. Because I guess we don't have AAA. We don't have anything like that.
And never once did you flag down a car?
No, no one stopped. No, not one person stopped.
Well, I think stopped. We live in a time now where we assume everybody's got a cell phone on them and everybody's like just waiting.
We called, and people we called, they were like, oh yeah, it's going to take like, it'll cost like $300 just to come out there and like
look at it.
And we're like, okay, well, not paying that. So we had to like pool all of our money together, and we called the AAW promoter, I believe, and he called someone, one of his buddies, and his buddies came by and helped us, and like, yeah, we were sat on the side of the road for 14 hours. Got to the point where we all had our shirts off, and we were sunbathing.
What else?
With tanning lotion. We had tanning lotion in the car. Didn't have a flat tire, but we had tanning lotion.
At least you have the essentials.
Yes. So we tanned on the side of the road for a little bit. It ended up where we didn't end up leaving. And Chicago was like a good 5-hour drive. So we're still like, still got like 4 to 5 more hours still to go. Yeah, so we probably left around maybe 5 p.m. So from around 10, 11 p.m. the night prior to around like 5 p.m. the next day. So we were on the side of the road forever.
So you've been through two tsunamis.
Yes.
You know, one of them metaphorically.
Yes.
And the other one real.
Yes.
That's a horrible story. That is the worst.
This happened many times.
And what do you do?
I've been in a car with Greg Iron 3 times where he's gotten a flat tire.
What does he do now to prevent this ever happening?
Nothing. He does nothing. I'm sure it's happened many, many times. I believe, Greg Iron, you know, he's great, but he only has one hand as well. So jacking up and taking off a tire, kind of hard. So many times when it's just me and him driving, who's outside doing all the work? I'm outside like jacking up the car and taking it off while he's sitting there, finger up his butt, whatever he's doing.
Whatever he's doing.
Tanning on the side of the road.
That's probably the most likely.
Yeah, so yeah. Worst luck in the world is Gregory Iron.
Oh my God, I wanna keep going, but I think we need to end this here. We'll do this again sometime.
Please
right?
do.
Would
I have many, many more stories.
All right.
Many, many more.
Gargano, thank you so much.
No problem, buddy. Anytime.
Well, that wraps up another week of the Traveling Tights. I want to thank our guest this week, Johnny Gargano. Make sure you check him out on Twitter, @JohnnyGargano. And as always, if you'd like to get a hold of me or Mr. Fish to invite us to your next wrestling event or comedy show, still doing the thing where I stand on stage and talk into a microphone to feed my sad, sad ego, you can follow me on Twitter, @TheDaltonCastle. And also give Bobby a follow, @TheBobbyFish. And don't forget to check him out each and every week on Ring of Honor TV. ROHWrestling.com. For more episodes of The Traveling Tights, you can check it out at travelingtights.podomatic.com or download it for free and subscribe on iTunes. The Traveling Tights, available on iTunes. And I can't stress enough, if you haven't listened to the back catalog, start downloading them now. Very soon, the season's going to come to an end, and the old episodes will start to disappear. Much like the love my mother once had for me. So this week for Johnny, Bobby, the flight attendant who looked like a female version of Dusty Rhodes, I'm Dalton Castle reminding you that Gregory Iron is a horrible driver.